Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamaya, good evening. How is it Friday already? I don't know, but we're going to bring you all the latest news in 30 minutes before 5.30. So coming up tonight, following on from the changes announced for TT 2026, we're going to hear from the clerk of the course, Gary Thompson. Also, people on the island are apparently withdrawing employment and equality complaints because of the cost. That's according to a review of a recent case. There's also a call to improve pavements, paths and highways in the north of the island. We'll look ahead to the Ravens away game this weekend. And if you are a fan of Lego and are between the ages of 11 and 15, we've got something that'll be right up your street. So do stay tuned. We'll also look at the weather, the traffic and the travel as well, all to come before 5.30. We'll start as ever with a news headline roundup with Lewis Fastamai.
Fastamai. The chairman of the island's Employment and Equality Tribunal has warned that people are withdrawing their complaints due to the cost involved. It comes in a review order of the case of an employee versus Manx Care. Douglas Stewart says there's currently an uneven playing field for complainants. The clerk of the course for the Isle of Man TT races does not believe the current schedule for the event is too crowded. Changes to the races for 2026 were announced this week, including an increase in qualifying sessions and contingency slots, as well as some switches to race running orders. Gary Thompson has also defended a number of technical changes to some of the bike classes after concerns it could leave some competitors out of the running. And this summer was the warmest on record for the Isle of Man. The mean daily high was 18.8 degrees Celsius, which is 1.24 degrees above the standard 30-year average. The latest international news this afternoon, and it's understood David Lammy is to become the next Deputy UK Prime Minister following the resignation of Angela Rayner. She quit the government earlier after admitting she underpaid stamp duty on a property in Hove. And ethics reviews concluded she did breach the ministerial code. As part of Sir Keir Starmer's cabinet reshuffle, Yvette Cooper will take over as Foreign Secretary. The UK Foreign Office says it's supporting the families of three British nationals killed in a funicular crash in Lisbon. They were among the 16 who died when the vehicle derailed in the city centre, injuring 22 others. And Boyzone could be making a return in a video interview posted to Instagram. Former frontman Ronan Keating says they'll try to get together in 2026. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with the news at 6 o'clock.
Thank you very much indeed to Lewis, our Boyzone fan there. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So this evening it's going to stay dry and bright. It will be clear overnight. Minimum temperatures around 12 Celsius. Tomorrow, staying dry and bright with sunny spells. It is going to become quite breezy tomorrow. There'll be a southeast wind developing and maximum temperatures tomorrow 19. So quite good to do your washing. Then Sunday, there is actually a yellow weather warning, which I'll tell you about in just a moment, because rain will soon develop on Sunday morning. There'll be strong southeast winds. They will clear to sunny intervals later in the afternoon or evening, and the winds will swing southwest and ease. So that yellow weather warning is in place from 10 a.m. on Sunday morning until 2 p.m. and it's the usual areas likely to be affected. So central parts of Douglas Promenade, Castletown and Laxey Proms, and to a lesser extent Ramsey Promenade as well. But we'll keep you up to date with that as we go through the weekend. Sunset this evening, 1 minute past eight. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 6:34.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614-841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One Architectural Design Company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49 6667.
It's coming up to 5 past 5 here on Update. Lovely to have your company this evening. And we've talked a lot about TT this week, and we're going to do it again now because the clerk of the TT course doesn't believe the current event schedule is too crowded. Gary Thompson has been talking to us about changes coming in for next year, which include the introduction of a sport bike class, switches in race running orders, and more rest days and contingencies.
I've read this argument on Facebook many, many times. Personally, I don't think it is. I don't think it's any crowded than what it was in previous years. I know people say, you know, we should always go back to the Friday for the senior race day, but you know, the new schedule, and let's face it, you know, we are subject to climate change, and that affects the TT, the Manchester Grand Prix, Classic TT, and every other sporting event. So the schedule we've now got, it does give us that extra flexibility. And unlike this year, where we didn't use the contingency session on Sunday, the 8th of June, if next year we, for whatever reason, lost the senior race on a Saturday, we would be using the race day on Sunday, the 7th. And I think really with the contingencies we've got planned throughout the whole fortnight, you know, there's more than enough scope to get that schedule in.
And for the classes, there'll be a change. Sport bike machines being brought in what will be now the sport bike class, sport bike and super twins. On the technical side of things, I've seen one comment from a rider on social media is that they're not criticising the TT, but they're concerned that maybe the technical changes that will be involved in a couple of the classes might have a negative cost impact on those who'd want to compete in the likes of the Super Sport and Super Twins. What would you say to anyone who might have concerns about the challenges around costs that this might put onto riders?
Yeah, I read that as well. The TT now is globally recognised throughout the world. Across the board, we've got to make the racing, it's affordable for teams and competitors to come. Now, what we've tried to do is align our technical regulations alongside the World Superbikes, British Superbikes, and also the Northwest 200 is aligning to the TT. We are trying to align the technical regulations across all championships and series so that they don't have to make a bike or build a bike specifically to come to the TT.
That's the clerk of the TT course, Gary Thompson, talking to Rob there. And just a reminder, you can see the 2026 Isle of Man TT races schedule on our website. And again, staying with another story that we've heard quite a lot about this week, how often do we hear how valuable an asset the TT brand is to the Isle of Man? But is government really protecting it in the right way? Well, this is the question that One MHK is posing to the Department for Enterprise after, as we've reported this week, it took legal action against a massage and wellness company in Basingstoke, known as Target Therapies, for using those letters TT. Well, the department has told us it takes its responsibility to protect the trademarks and intellectual property of the Isle of Man TT races extremely seriously. Now, Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper, a former enterprise minister, says it's right the TT name is protected, but describes this instance as overkill.
I kind of get that the DfE wants to protect the Isle of Man TT trademark. That makes a lot of sense. But there's a balance as to kind of what you would assume could potentially infringe on that trademark. I would be very surprised if there is any real overlap between what a massage therapy firm in Basingstoke does and the Isle of Man TT. It doesn't feel like those are two worlds that are going to interact very much in the commercial space. And so it just kind of feels a little bit like maybe the government have gone a bit too far in the kind of protections they're trying to enforce. So I understand needing to protect your brand, but there has to be an element of common sense built into this, I would have thought.
You've described it as overkill. Did you experience anything like that? Did you know this kind of practice was going on when you were Enterprise Minister?
So this stuff goes on all the time, absolutely does. The only ones that I've come across in the past have been ones where there was a potential risk of there being an overlap, so into motorsport related, for example. So if someone was out there wanting to run a motorsport themed product line or something and they were going to use the TT, that kind of makes a lot of sense to say, hold on a second, you can't do that without permission, you can't do that because that might infringe on our rights, and it might also cause an issue if what you're providing isn't, you know, great product. It might reflect poorly on the TT. So that kind of stuff happens quite a lot. But a dispute over something that would appear to be completely and utterly disconnected from motorsport, from the Isle of Man, and from the TT, that's a new one on me, if I'm honest. And that's what I meant by overkill. I think actually, yes, you need to protect your intellectual property. You need to protect the trademark and the reputation of the Isle of Man TT. But I would argue challenging small local firms actually probably does more harm to the reputation of the TT than it does to protect it.
That's Ramsey MHK, Laurie Hooper talking there to Lewis. You can find out, as ever, more on that story and the full response from the Department for Enterprise at manxradio.com. It's coming up to 5:10 and a tribunal has warned that people on the Isle of Man are withdrawing their employment inequality complaints because of the cost involved in taking them to tribunal. Now, this comes in a review order of a case of an employee versus Manx Care, as Sean Cowper reports.
Within it, the chairman of the Employment and Equality Tribunal, Douglas Stewart, highlights the fact that often respondents in employment disputes are represented at public expense by the chambers of the Attorney General, whilst he says complainants are inclined to withdraw their complaints due to the costs involved. The comments come as Mr. Stewart reiterates points made in a ruling he made on the 6th of August, saying this direction's hearing is the second of three being heard this week on an application by a respondent represented by the chambers of the Attorney General. All three raise quite similar points regarding strikeout and include a costs warning for, put simply, reasonably similar arguments, although on fundamentally different facts in each case. All three cases involve Manx Care, although in one case the complainant is under contract with the Public Services Commission. Besides these three, a fourth case raising similar issues raised on behalf of the respondent is awaiting a listing date. Mr. Stewart adds that, almost inevitably, in every case involving an employee who's worked for Manx Care, the court bundle of documents for use at the substantive hearing is very substantial, hundreds and sometimes thousands of pages. This adds to the burden and concerns of complainants, especially when there are warnings of possible cost sanctions following the expressed likelihood of a hearing lasting many days. Within the past 20 months, more than one complainant, ground down by the burdens, has preferred to withdraw their complaint, even though there was a prima facie merit in the pleaded cases. I do not wish to see complainants being ground down by undue formality, particularly if they are funding the litigation themselves through a lawyer or are without legal representation. It's not right that complainants with a case having prima facie merit should be deprived of their day in court by the unevenness of the playing field.
Sean Cowper reporting from that review order there. Well, in response, Manx Care says it's aware of the contents of an administrative order made by this tribunal yesterday. The health body has told us, while we are unable to comment on the specifics of an ongoing case, we want to reaffirm our commitment to resolving employee concerns and complaints through locally agreed policies and procedures wherever possible. Always aiming, they say, to avoid the need for formal legal action. They go on to say, we will carefully consider the tribunal's observations in consultation with the Attorney General's chambers and conclude by saying that each case brought to our attention is assessed on its individual merits and legal advice is taken to inform how they are managed. Ensuring all relevant information is shared allows us to follow due process and address matters fairly and thoroughly. 5:12, and a Ramsey commissioner is starting a campaign to try and improve the pavements, paths and highways in the town. Chris Martin says the Safer Surfaces, Safer Spaces project will aim to encourage residents to report issues, including overgrown hedges and potholes, to make the town more accessible.
It was part because when I was canvassing recently for the Ramsey South Ward, I did find that a lot of the pavements had issues, which was compounded then by some of the residents that did point out some of the undulations and issues and potholes, etc., that were on the highway. Then on Poland Day, we had a number of incidents and accidents, which unfortunately people had tumbled out of their mobility carts, and some people with prosthetic limbs had mentioned that they had difficulty with some of the variants in the pavements. So, true to my word, we're going to do something about it.
What do you hope to get out of it?
Hopefully people will embrace the opportunity to report faults on the pavements and on the highways, and that could be low-hanging branches, it might be overgrown hedges. Equally, it might be that there's a horrible curb or that the entrance to a property is on a particularly bad slope. We will then report that through notify.im to highways. Some of the issues RTC might be able to do something about straight away. Other things, we may be able to get some of the homeowners to do something about it. But equally, then we'll keep a record and we'll keep on the case.
You said that during the election campaign, people raised this as an issue. So what kinds of things did they tell you and what were their experiences?
I think some people, unfortunately, are more housebound than they need to be because they're not able to get out and about. They're a little bit frightened that they might tumble or take a fall. Prior to polling day, I had a lady from Mayfield contact me who had difficulty getting to Tesco's. So that's a subsistence thing then, that people aren't able to get to the things that they need on the day-to-day. We've got young people who are scooting around the town. We'd like them to be able to scoot safely. Also, from the perspective of people getting around the town sociably, it would be nice if people are able to do that without the fear of tumbling out of their mobility cart.
That's Ramsey Commissioner Chris Martin talking to local Democracy reporter Emma Draper.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, nothing to report on the police pages this evening, which is always good. But if you do spot something when you're out and about and able to let us know, we do appreciate it. So it's usually just the same old traffic lights and whatever that were there this morning to look out for on your way home. All OK down at the airport this evening and at the steam packet. The Manxman due into Douglas at around about 6:15, heading out again to Heysham at 7:45. The Mananan on its way to Liverpool will be there in around half an hour or so, heading back at 7:15.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at
It's just gone 5:15. I said we've been talking about TT a lot this week. We're going to do it again because 14-time TT winner Peter Hickman has confirmed he'll return to racing in the Bennetts British Superbike Championship that's taking place this weekend. Now, this will be the first time he's competed in more than 3 months after being injured in an incident during qualifying at this year's TT on the 30th of May.
Many of you know that I did the Cadwell Park test on the Friday evening before the event. I got on all right, to be honest. I'd started doing track days the week before, made a good step forwards for the test with my fitness and how I can ride the bike. It's now obviously been a couple of weeks down the line. I've been working really hard behind the scenes, speaking a lot with my surgeons, my doctors, and also the BSB medical team. And we're now in a position where for this weekend at Donington Park for the Bennetts British Superbike Championship, I have actually entered. So just how strong I'm going to be, none of us actually know that answer, but I'm going to be working really closely with the medical team here, also my physio and chiropractor that's here as well. We are back for this weekend at Donington Park, hopefully for the whole weekend. I really don't know how I'm going to be. I know I can ride the bike strongly. My problem was endurance, really, at Cadwell Park. I could ride the bike absolutely fine. What I couldn't do was loads and loads of laps together. So it'll be interesting to see what I'm like now. I'm definitely stronger again. I'm working really closely with the medical teams to make sure that I'm the best I can be. And I'm not going to do myself any damage. I know a lot of people have been saying don't come back too soon, which obviously it's been quite a while now. Well, I feel like it's been quite a while, over 3 months. It's not a long time for the amount of injuries I've had, but yeah, everyone's quite happy from a professional level that I'm not going to injure myself by trying to ride the bike. So with that in mind, the only way I'm ever going to get stronger is to keep riding. So that's exactly why I've entered Donington Park BSB this weekend. Let's wait and see how we get on. Fingers crossed. I feel good tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday. Looking forward to it. It was nice to be back out on track actually with the boys at Cadwell Park, but this time round, I'll be riding a full-blown superbike. Let's see how we get on.
That's 14-time TT winner Peter Hickman just speaking on his social media about what's happening this weekend taking place in the Superbike Championship. We wish him all the very best with that. 5:17, and the FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones insists the atmosphere in the club is still positive despite sitting bottom of the table going into their latest NWCFL Premier Division tie this weekend. The Ravens travel to Burscoe tomorrow and Jones says they recognise they'll be facing a team that's had a strong start to the latest league campaign.
It's going to be difficult for no other reason than I'm having to make 5 or 6 changes to the starting 11 for reasons outside of my control. So we really are calling on lots of players at the moment, which doesn't help to build consistency and build performances over time. But it is part of the challenge of FC Isle of Man, and we seem to be going through that challenge kind of more so than we ever have in recent weeks. So yeah, it's going to be tough. You know, hopefully the players that will have to step into the team and the squad have seen what we did on Saturday. You know, we're going to keep going in that direction, I hope, which is being on the floor and trying to take control of the game as much as we possibly can and play some good football. And we've got a few players back from holidays, and so that the squad will be quite a different squad to the one that played against or was part of the game against Paddy. And I don't think Danny Gerrard's going to be fit. We've got a few other people who aren't available through work commitments, and Callum Sherry suspended for 2 games now. So yeah, it's going to be hard. hard, but we think we've got more than enough in the group to go and push on again.
What's the mood been like in the squad over the last couple of weeks? Because, of course, sitting at the bottom of the table at the moment, what's the general feeling been like with results-wise? What's been a difficult start to the season?
Really good, and you know, people may or may not believe that, but we, no matter where you are in the table, you still need to work in the right way. And that hasn't changed. And it's really a compliment to the group, to be honest. The mindset and the positivity and the willingness to work hard for each other, you know, is there. There's a really good atmosphere. We know where we are and we know the things that we're needing to work on. And we also have, you know, a lot of good players in the group who just need maybe a little bit of time and support and patience. So clearly we're frustrated. We've not got more points on the board, but we also have a real strong belief that will come if we keep going in the same direction.
That is Paul Jones, who is talking there to Rob. That game tomorrow, Burskow versus FC Isle of Man, kicking off at the Community Ground at 3 p.m. Now, stay with sport, because nearly 9 months since her last fight, Isle of Man pro boxer Jade Burden returns to the ring this weekend, hoping to remain undefeated in the professional ranks. The Grenade is due to face pro debutante Sydney Chambers at the Winter Gardens in Blackpool tomorrow.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a hard slog this year, as you could probably imagine. I was originally penciled into box in April, and then the week leading up to it, it fell through. So big disappointment there. I won't lie, it does affect your confidence a little bit, as it is a ticket selling game, but it just is what it is. It's out of my control. And then I was supposed to box Kirsty Hill, and then whoever is the top of the bill on that card had to have surgery, so that's kind of postponed. So I am chasing that. I still want that fight. But yeah, then I've got Sydney Chambers, I think her name is, this weekend, so I'm ready to go.
Turning then to this weekend, what do you know about your opponent?
I don't know anything. Do you know what? That's the exciting part about it, is I actually don't know anything. It's her debut, so she's probably going to have a go, and that's what I want. Like, I want her to have a go. I want to be tested. I've got my first six rounder, you know, my camp's gone really well. I feel sharp, I feel fit, I feel ready. So yeah, I'm hoping she throws the kitchen sink at me this weekend.
If it is a bit of an unknown, does that maybe just give you a chance to focus on your own game rather than thinking too much about how they're going to approach it?
Yeah, 100%. I think there's no point in thinking about what they're going to bring or what they're going to do, because at the end of the day, it's all about you and what you've been putting into place. I don't look at any of my opponents. I solely, you know, believe whatever my coach tells me, I just do, and that it'll pay off on the night.
Should you be successful this weekend, what's the plan from there?
Yeah, well, like I said, prior to an opponent change, I was penciled in to fight Kirsty Hill. So she is the current super featherweight Commonwealth champion. So that's who I want next, and I'd happily do a 10 rounder against her. I watched her as soon as I got offered the fight. I had no doubt of my ability that I could beat Kirsty, so that's what I want next, and I've made it quite open and honest about that, so that's what I'm chasing next.
Well, that is Jade Burden, who's talking to Rob there, and again, we wish her all the very best for that fight that's taking place tomorrow at the Winter Gardens in Blackpool. Now, a local technology organisation is offering kids the chance to enter its first annual robot building competition. Now, the Coe Club in Douglas has asked children aged between 11 and 15 to build Lego robots, and there are cash prizes on offer. Owen Kuchiar from the club has been talking to Darren Timpson.
A few years ago, we had a great success with a number of teams taking part in a cybersecurity competition, which has since closed. So we looked around to see what other competitions were happening in the UK and around the world that we could encourage youths in the Isle of Man to take part in. One of the ones that caught our attention was a robotics competition run by the WRO, the World Robotics Organization. So we looked to see whether we had some local interest, some local talent. So we found some kids at Code Club who were interested in taking part in this. So for the competition itself, we're looking at organizing teams of three, consisting of two students between 11 and 15 and one adult coach working with them. So the team will compete together, they'll build robots together, they'll practice the tasks together. And then on the competition day, which is Saturday, the 29th of November, we'll actually have the teams competing against one another with the aim of trying to work out who the best teams are. We've got cash prizes. I think we've got £1,000 in total that's being allocated into prizes. And we've got different prizes for achieving different targets within the competition.
So why did you want to open it up to locals?
Part of this is it's really about opportunity, right? So what we want to do is to come up with a number of teams that can compete internationally. And in order to do this, having a local competition, one will increase the interest around the Isle of Man. But also, if there are, you know, kids who are interested in robotics but didn't know how to get into the field, kids who were interested, who were already doing something in robotics and wanted to find other kids who were interested in kind of doing more. And forming groups. You know, having a competition is something that brings out the best in people.
That is Owen Kuchar from the Code Club in Douglas talking to Darren there. So a great competition for children aged between 11 and 15. Sport time now with Rob Pritchard. And Rob, we're just saying, love Lego. Don't love it when you stand on it.
No, just at the flashbacks.
Oh, I tell you.
Flashbacks. When they hide in the carpet as well and you just can't see them.
Oh, yeah.
You can't
see terrible. Them. Terrible. Anyway, lots happening this weekend.
Indeed. Well, first off, it's the second weekend and game day three of the 25-26 Isle of Man football season tomorrow. Following midweek matches across the divisions on Tuesday and Wednesday this week, all four men's senior leagues return to action throughout Saturday afternoon. In the Canada Life Men's Premier League, three teams, Corinthians, Rushen United and Laxey, will all be looking to maintain perfect starts, having won their first two. Corinthians host Foxdale, Laxey travel to Ramsey and Rushen United welcome defending Premier League champions Peel. Elsewhere in the top flight, St Mary's and Onchan meet at the Bowl in the early kickoff, whilst Union Mills host Braddon and Ayr United welcome Douglas High School Old Boys. Four fixtures are pending for Ardern and Drug Unlimited Division 2 this weekend. Castletown, one of two teams along with Pulrose United to have won their first two matches, they're at home to Douglas Royal. The other second tier ties will see Maloo face Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, St George's at home to Moran and Colby up against Douglas and District. Separately, a busy schedule of matches is expected across the two combination leagues as well tomorrow. You can view all of Saturday's league fixtures at manxradio.com. In rugby, the league seasons for three Isle of Man teams get underway this weekend. Douglas will begin their latest venture in Regional 2 North West, whilst Vagabonds and Ramsey will play their first contests of Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire. For Northerners Ramsey, it's a return to the English club championship system for the first time in 5 years. For Douglas, they'll begin their league journey at home against newly promoted North Ribblesdale at Portishead at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Douglas managed the best ever Regional 2 North West finish of 6th in the previous campaign, whilst their visitors tomorrow won all 22 games in Counties 1 Yorkshire last season. Meanwhile, both Vagabonds and Ramsey are on the road this Saturday. Ramsey travel to Congleton at 1:30 p.m. tomorrow, whilst Vagabonds head to Burnley with a slightly later kickoff of 3 p.m. And finally, one of the last major events on the Isle of Man's triathlon calendar takes place in the north of the island this weekend. The Isle of Man Triathlon Championships will be held at Morag Park in Ramsey on Sunday, the 7th of September. The event will feature triathlons over both sprint and standard distances for teams and individuals. Entries for the competition are already closed.
Oh, that's such a shame. I wish I'd known earlier. Oh, next time maybe. I'll build up to that one. Rob, thank you very much indeed. That is all from Update tonight. Coming up next, it's the Friday Sport Preview with Rob. So all the details of what's happening this weekend and much more in the next half hour. Then it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley from 6. At 9, Howard will be here with Sweet and Swing. And then Rhiann will join you with After Hours from 10 p.m. And just to let you know about the latest in a podcast series that we have here on Manx Radio, I Love Man, double N. It's talking to people about why they love the island and what we can do really to just help people be a little bit more positive sometimes. And the latest guest on that podcast is Rowan Henthorne, a marine scientist who grew up here on the Isle of Man. She's got some fascinating things to say, so do check that out on the Manx Radio website. Whatever you're doing this weekend, have a good one. We'll keep you up to date with how the weather's looking on Sunday, and I'll be back with Update on Monday evening.